In Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read just the first four verses again. And so for those that have been coming on Wednesdays and Sundays, you know we've been here for, I've been in this passage for a little bit. Okay, starting in verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the showers of rain outside, dear Lord. And we do ask, Lord, for showers of blessing in here. Lord, as we open your word this morning, thank you for the singing this morning, Lord, and that people could lift up their voice unto you, dear Lord. We thank you for that. And we just ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this morning our text is primarily verse 2, which reads, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, from verse 1 to 4, predominantly in verse 1, Paul is telling us about himself. First, his position in Christ. He says, I'm a bondslave. He says about the authority given to him. He's called to be an apostle. And he says of his salvation and work, he's separated under the gospel of God. And that continues into verse 3 and 4, that the work and the salvation, the gospel of God. But in verse 2 there, he breaks the statement and he interrupts it and he puts in this verse. You know, he puts in this these few words. And So I read it as this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then you can put back in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, I don't know if we should do that. We're going to leave it where it is because that's where Paul left it. That's where he put it. That's where the Holy Spirit told him to put it. So let's just leave it where it is. But what he's trying to tell us, he's trying to say, I want to make something clear to you. I'm going to stop here with this statement and I'm just going to tell you, I need to remind you, I need to make clear that you know that the gospel of God was promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so that's what he's just trying to get our attention for a second, just to give us and make sure we have clear truth that these things were known. Okay, he wants, he says, it's no secret. God had promised it, the prophets proclaimed it, and the scriptures testify of it. Okay, Jesus said himself in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And he goes on, verses 45 and 46, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So we find in verse 2 just a reminder, and it also contains a beautiful truth that God never hid the fact that Christ was coming, that the Messiah was to come. He didn't keep it for a select few people, for whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So time and time again, prophet after prophet, God made proclamations by the prophets of details, or through the prophets, of the details of the Messiah and of his work and of his comings. It was something that was I think, noised abroad, if I can use that term. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." And so that's something that Moses wrote about, prophesying of Christ, that the Messiah was to come. Micah, he says, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. But thou, in Micah chapter 5, sorry, for those that were taking references, Deuteronomy 18:15-18 was the previous one. Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And we find when King Herod, when the wise men come to King Herod and they seek the king, Herod sought the chief priests and scribes where Christ was to be born, and immediately they refer to this verse, this passage, they quote it. Because it wasn't a hid thing. God had shown it. He had revealed it to them. Isaiah the prophet says, "The Messiah will be born of a virgin." Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Isaiah says that the government shall be upon his shoulder in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. "And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Again and again, the prophets made proclamation of the coming of Christ, and it wasn't a hid thing. We find at the birth of Christ that it wasn't a hid thing. The angels come and proclaim it to the shepherds and say, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then they say to themselves, "Let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." It wasn't a hid thing. And I'm sure, judging by the nature of man, that they didn't keep that to themselves. They spread that abroad to everyone they came across. They would have no doubt said, the angels appeared to us and they told us about the Christ was born. And we find that these things weren't hid. God did these in the open, these things. At the temple, at the offering of two turtle doves for a sacrifice, according to the law of the Lord, it was told Simeon that he should not see death until he had seen the Christ. And he came in by the Spirit into the temple. And then in Luke 2:28-32, says, "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to light lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now, in my mind's eye, I see people standing around and ears dropping. What did he say? Did he just say that's the salvation? That's Christ? And from another room, it says, or not from another room, but it says that Anna comes in that instant. Maybe she's heard just what Simeon said. And she comes in and lifts up her voice at that moment and gives thanks unto the Lord. And then speaks of him to all that look for redemption in Israel. Speaks of him to all. So they knew Christ was there. They knew of the prophecies of Christ. It was not a secret. The ministry of Jesus wasn't hidden. They had John the Baptist as a forerunner to his ministry. And John prophesied. And the Pharisees sent people to John and asked, "Art thou the Christ?" And John said, "No, I'm not. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And so they knew. They had the prophecies of Daniel saying that the Messiah would come in the 69th week. Yet they weren't looking for him. They didn't seem to care. When Herod asked the chief priests, they didn't say, "Oh, let's go find him ourselves so that we can worship the king." No, they weren't looking for him. Jesus said of his own ministry when they came to Garden of Gethsemane, "Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staffs for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me." And the miracles, the many miracles that Christ did, he said most of them were done in plain sight, in front of great multitudes of people, fulfilling many prophecies given more than 400 years earlier. One, in fact, is Isaiah in chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert." Isaiah said that Christ would be despised. And let's turn there. We're going to read the whole chapter, Isaiah 53, because it's not a long chapter, and it really just goes with the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 53, verse 1. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bared the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Paul is telling us here in verse 2 in Romans 1 that it's no secret. It's not a secret. God has been giving us truth upon truth. He's been revealing the good news concerning his Son Jesus Christ for hundreds of years by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So, what application do we make of this to ourselves, this text? Well, firstly, I think it's there as a reminder, and that we need to remember. So let us remember the promises of God that he's given us. One, that Christ has bared our sins. And for those that are saved, that we have eternal life. He's given to us salvation. But there's a second application, I think, that we can make to this. And if you turn to 1 Kings with me, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll read just a portion of scripture here. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'm rushing. I must be speaking fast because my notes are flying through. But anyway, that's all right. You can have an early morning if I finish early. All right. 2 Kings, and we're going to start in verse 41. So, sorry, 1 Kings. So I said 1 Kings, didn't I? I was wondering why I couldn't find a passage. All right. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said again, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, we basically read all that text for the last verse, but I just wanted to put it in context. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And now what I want you to understand here about this passage is that he wasn't running before Ahab just to get there first. He wasn't going to get to the gate and say, ha ha, beat ya. That wasn't the case. But he's running before the king to announce his arrival. He's going to get to the gate first so that the people can bow. He's going to shout, open the gate for the king! The king is coming! So that's why Ahab is running before the king. He's making a proclamation that the king is coming, similar to what John the Baptist did for Christ. Christ is coming. And so when we look at that for ourselves, you know, we might have somebody important like a king or a prime minister, and, you know, we don't want to be scratching our chin when or our armpit when he walks in the door, so you get somebody to make an announcement first, okay? So it's a job of somebody to let other people know that a person of authority or is there, and so that you can show the right respect that's entitled. So the application I want to suggest to you that these prophecies that Paul is mentioning to you are like the heralding of a king, the proclaiming the king is coming. Okay? Good news, Christ is coming. Good news. He will be like unto Moses. I will raise one up like unto Moses. Good news, he will be born in Bethlehem. Good news, our sin will be laid on him. And something the Lord has been talking to me about lately is that I need to be doing more is declaring the good news of Calvary and also proclaiming the coming of our King. He's on his way. I really believe that we're all called to be watchmen. And we're all here, we're all called to proclaim that judgment is coming. Turn with me to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. And we'll start in verse 2. Or we might as well start in verse 1. Ezekiel 33. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, if the watchman see the judgment of God coming, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman under the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. I wonder what sort of watchmen we are. Are we watchmen that make a clear sound of our trumpets? Do we make a loud noise and not a noise that's profitable? Is it a clear sound? Or do we just stand there and watch the judgment come upon others? Have you ever been prompted to go and tell somebody the gospel or talk to them about Christ and not done it? You missed your opportunity. Maybe that person, the Lord took them. They've stepped into eternity and now you don't have a chance. I see Noah building his ark day by day, and people come to look at the incredible size of this ark, and he's preaching to them as he's doing it. But at the end of daylight, Noah going to nearby villages, going to the streets, worn out and ready for bed, but going to warn them of judgment. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming, he would cry in the streets. Maybe he took one day off a week just to do that, to go and proclaim judgment was coming. For 120 years, he preached. Should we not go and bang on their doors and warn them that something is coming, judgment is coming? If there was a fire in your street out of control, you would go and wake them. You'd knock on their door and say, "Wake up, get out, before it's too late." Why not to the sinner? Do we tell him, judgment is coming, flee from the wrath that's to come? Sinner, hide thyself in Christ. Would we go and see Vince, say, "Vince, judgment is coming"? Or to Mr. Bricks across the road, "Mr. Bricks, hide thyself in Christ. Seek Christ." Or to the Healy's, tell them judgment is coming. Don't delay. Time is nearly up. Do we really believe that Christ can return at any moment? Do we really believe it? Because if we really believe it, it should cause us to be concerned for those that don't know Christ. To go to them, to plead with them at times. What sort of watchmen are we? That's what the Lord's been asking me. What sort of watchman am I? Am I making a clear sound? Am I proclaiming that his judgment is on his way? Am I heralding in the king, announcing his arrival? Or am I just sitting back? Am I a watchman that just stands there and sees the judgment coming and fails to let anybody know? What are we doing for Christ? It's said that a large portion of the New Testament specifically speaks about the second coming of Christ, and also we know for certain that Jesus taught more on hell than he did on heaven. The scriptures prophesy. These things are written before by the prophets to herald in the coming of those things, to herald in the judgment of God, to herald in the second coming. What are we doing for Christ? All right. Let's pray, and you'll have an early morning this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that as I rushed through that, Lord, I pray that it hasn't been detriment, Lord, but pray that something, Lord, will stir in our hearts, Lord. May we see that Christ could return, Lord, even before we finish this prayer. Lord, help us to really believe that, dear Lord, and help us, Lord, to be faithful watchmen, faithful witnesses for you, dear Lord, seeking the lost, Lord, having a burden for others. Lord, we thank you for those promises, Lord, that you've given us in the scriptures that you will return. Lord, help us to be ready, Lord, for that. Help us to be ready to and be wanting to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, may you help us with this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.